When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. Longtime contributor to the station and, of course, a valued friend. And he joins us, as all guests do, thanks to Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Fascinating stuff to hear the coach try to avoid the second-guessing that I suppose is inevitable. But, you know, I know they go through the tape and they send plays in every week. But must we all know that you know, Scott Daly, he got hit, and I think somebody was shoving some guys from the back. There were a lot of violations. I just don't know what the league's going to do about it. Would this be the first time? Oh, no. This will be the first time that they award a victory to Matt Eberflus, right? They'll let him have the win.
What's crazy is you say, yeah, we're gonna send in these plays to the league and get some feedback from them. We're gonna have them check it out, and you hear coaches say that from time to time. They're not gonna tell you what they hear back from the league unless they want to be fined. You following me? Like, so they've sent the play in, probably another play or two from the game. As well, like, that's commonplace. Coaches just wanting to get an understanding for why certain things are called or why certain things are not called on different plays. But it's when the coaches start talking about the feedback they get from the league, that's when they start seeing the paycheck shrink a little bit. So I think it'll be a mystery as to what the league says about that play. I can understand them wanting to send it in for evaluation. I talked to a handful of people that thought it was close and thought that, generally speaking, it might need to be a little, it might need to be a little more egregious in that game situation for it to be called. I don't blame the Bears for sending it in. Probably not going to make them feel any better, no matter what answer they get.
Brad, what do you think has been the biggest reason Montez Sweat has not been as productive as we expected? Yeah. And what do you expect the final seven games of the season from the guy who is supposedly the multiplier?
Yeah, I mean, that's the guy who led the Commanders and the Bears in sacks a year ago, right? And 3.5 sacks this season. I think health is the number one thing. You know, he missed some time at the end of training camp preseason in there with an elbow. We've seen the shin. We've seen an ankle. So I don't think he's 100%, but still, that was a big takeaway of mine from the game yesterday, is just the inability to get after a quarterback in Jordan Love that wasn't 100%. And Sweat's not going to be able to do it all by himself. But after some flashes for those guys across the board early in the season, that that pass rush is really kind of slowed down. And that's problematic for them, because they like to be able to get home with four.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of the defense, right? And we talk about having to blitz to get pressure, and we talk about how Eberflus has done a very good job at that. But the reality is that when you play a version of the Tampa 2, getting home in four is what the whole thing's about. Can you go through some of these guys? Do you think Jarvon Dexter is doing what you wanted him to do? He started the year strong. What's your take on Zach Pickens, et cetera? Let's go down the line with some of those guys. How are they playing, and what are they doing without Andrew Billings there? Has there been a noticeable slippage on the interior of the line, as well as maybe not as much of an outside rush?
Yeah, the run defense was really poor on that opening possession for the Packers, 70 yards, 8 plays. I don't believe that Green Bay hit third down on that possession, but the rest of the way, I thought the run defense was okay, like maybe better than I thought, because I figured the Packers were going to come in and rush for a buck 60 plus in that ball game. But in terms of the pass rush, yeah, you saw some juice and production from Jarvon Dexter early in the season. Pickens, he's still
hurt, right?
He's not hurt. He's barely been out there this season. Yeah. I think we need to give him a little more time. You know, they trade for Darrell Taylor. He makes a splash upon arrival. In terms of significant production of late, I don't know. Jacob Martin had a little flash there for a couple games. He was quiet on Sunday. So I just think it's kind of across the board, they haven't had a lot of production. And you want to talk about getting Sam Darnold to give you a couple on Sunday, I think you're going to have to I know you're going to have more consistent production if you want to get some takeaways and flip the field and all that good stuff against the Vikings.
Brad, whenever we hear from Ryan Poles next, what do you expect in terms of him voicing support for Matt Eberflus, or how careful does he need to be in attaching and aligning himself any more than he already is with the head coach that likely could be fired at the end of the season?
Well, I don't know that we're going to hear from him before the end of the season, but I think he needs to support his head coach as if it's the head coach of the team until the guy's not, right? That's what's got to happen here, right? Like, playing this game of, there's some space between the two of us, or boy, he screwed this up, I'm going to let him hang out and dry. I don't see that happening at all. I think he'll have full support for him until the end, and then you'll see what happens at the end. But I don't, that just doesn't seem like the way Poles would operate, because the reality is everyone up there is under pressure right now and feeling it. And you need to be supporting the guy next to you, not trying to play the blame game.
I'm curious, Brad, when you mentioned Sam Darnold. Okay, so they drafted J.J. McCarthy. We know he had a knee injury. Local guy made good. I read the last week that he needed a second procedure to clean up the first surgery, which is never a good idea, but they believe he'll be ready for camp next year. I would imagine that Sam Darnold is a starting quarterback in the NFL next year, whether it's with Minnesota or elsewhere, if they decided they wanted to go with J.J. McCarthy. There just aren't enough of those guys, and he's had enough of a revival at this point. There has been slippage in that revival, but still a pretty strong year for him. What are you expecting from him this week, and how will the kind of the game plan shift a little from a guy like Jordan Love that they couldn't get to more of a target guy like Darnold?
Well, I think he's going to give him a couple chances to make a play on the ball. Like, that's sort of been the book on him, where you get two or three plays a game, and I'm not saying two or three takeaways, but just decisions by Darnold that you're sort of like, whoa, what happened there? And so in that instance, you've got to be able to capitalize in those moments, or certainly hope you can. So if there's three of those, you got to try to turn two of those into a big play for you. And that's sort of been the book on him all along. And you got to hope for that. Like, he got off to a really, really great start. I think he's sort of come back down to earth. And it's been a while now. Like, it's not been a two-game stretch or something. You know, I remember talking to people a month ago about the Vikings, who were playing really well. And the question was twofold. Will Sam Darnold come down, back down to earth? And with Brian Flores in the defense that is so predicated on pressure, and they do it from all over the place, and it's very difficult to get a read on what they're doing. I said, will there start to be tells to that Flores defense? And some people I talked to thought that both things were beginning to happen a little bit, because they've got some older guys in that secondary. Like, if they blitz and don't get home, there's an opportunity for big play palooza against the Vikings defense. But they get home at a high rate. And as I mentioned to you guys yesterday morning, fantastic stop and run. They've surpassed Baltimore in terms of having the number one run defense in the league right now, averaging less than 75 yards a game. That's what opponents are getting against them. So very stingy up front.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Expect the big play palooza to return or continue with the Bears and Thomas Brown calling plays. What are you hearing from the people you talk to around the league about the job that he did and the tough spot he might be in, because he is the new play caller, but it is the same playbook?
Yeah, I think people were generally encouraged, right? That, hey, they did some stuff there that was good that they maybe hadn't been doing, in terms of being real sharp on third down, being over 50%, racking up some yardage. No question about that. They get to 391, distributing the ball better, getting everybody involved. But at the end of the day, they had 19 points. And 19. How many games this past week in the NFL would 19 points have won? Right? Like, that's kind of the bottom line there. So they felt like it was an optimistic start for them. But you talk to people who have been in this for a while. I mean, you're not making any sweeping judgments off of one game. The sample size is just not worthy of going too deep. You can look at it and say, hey, what did they do differently here? What was positive for him moving forward? Can he sustain something with this group for the next three or four games? If so, you know, they'll have a chance to play better football.
Yeah, I mean, you try not to get kind of over your skis on this stuff, but the fact is that, you know, they lost two games out of this last four-game losing streak on the last play of the game, and they really should have won those games. I mean, by all accounts, You look at the odds of them losing, it's pretty, what was it, 1 in 68 million that a coach could lose 6 games while leading in the fourth quarter in the way that Eberflus has. It's crazy. So it's obviously part of that, some bad luck. Part of it is some bad decisions. But whatever it is, it's like getting hit by lightning. And if you're looking at this thing and you're thinking, what could have been, I think that, you know, I think that the New England game, they just didn't have enough on the offensive line to win that game. They were without Sweat and Billings. And I just think there were a lot of reasons that they couldn't compete in that game. But I think if you win the 2 games you're supposed to win, maybe you win that game in Arizona. I mean, I don't know. But your season is now completely turned around, whether it's misfortune, bad coach, whatever the reason is, Brad. How do you keep that in perspective if you are part of the hierarchy at Hallis Hall? I mean, how you don't get – it's like if you said, hey, you know, if we stop the run 3 times, we'd be third in the league at it. What, it's just – it's not – it doesn't matter, and it's like sending tape to the league. Nothing can be done for it. But it feels like an abject disaster when in reality it – you know, you would have a winning record and you'd be in a much better position if you just did what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, they'd be in the playoff picture right now, but, you know, they didn't. You talk about those astronomical odds and being hit by lightning. I mean, those sound like the kind of odds where you win in the lottery to me.
Yes, that's it.
They have not won the lottery. More important than a record when you're evaluating a coach, I think is a feel for the direction things are headed. And I'm not talking about how would you feel about the team having a game next Sunday when the season's over. I'm talking about the position the coach and his staff has the entire team going at the end of the season. Where is this thing headed? And, you know, it's right now, I don't know that they can say it's headed in a great space. I really don't. Like, they can't.
Who's getting better? Who, you know, if the quarterback's right, getting better, then you have an argument.
You can't make that argument, though. I mean, no. The quarterback had one good game after you fired the offensive coordinator that you brought into the operation.
Exactly. 100%.
Now, does Thomas Brown and those offensive coaches, do they have time to get this thing in a position where you can get to the middle of January and say, well, geez, you've got to feel pretty good about the way things have gone for Caleb? Yeah, they've got enough time, but they have very little room for error. And they can't, they can't go out there and put many clunkers up between now and the end of the season. There's just not a ton of football left.
I cringe at that, Brad, only because it sets up the scenario that we all have lived through before covering this team and watching the Bears. They have created this adversity that they're going to take credit for persevering through. And so at the end of the year, we're going to say Thomas Brown has his headed in the right direction after the disaster that Shane Waldron was.
Right.
This is so bare. And I think that we have to avoid that trap, man.
You're really getting ahead of yourself here, though.
I'm only asking a question. We're talking about what's going to happen at the end of the season. Because, Brad, tell me which game you're looking at of the final 7 you're going to pick the Bears to win.
Yeah, I don't know where that one is.
I don't either.
But if that's the case, it sounds like you're kind of solving your own issue there. Right? Like, they're not going to have cleaned up their own mess if they don't win another ball game. So they've got to try to keep the focus on the field. I like one thing Kevin Byard said yesterday, try to do more or say less. It was something along those lines. And that would have, boy, if they could have maybe taken that approach after the trip to Washington, that could have served them well. But, hey, you got a Minnesota team that traditionally for a long time, the Vikings have had a tough time at Soldier Field. Not every year, but I have seen Vikings teams that are considerably better than the one that they've got right now, which is a decent team,
right,
come into Chicago and really struggle on the road. So if history holds true, maybe the Bears have got a chance to surprise some folks on Sunday.
I look at where they're at, and I look at all of those elements, Brad. You know, these are the opponents you play most often. I get it. Green Bay's beaten them 11 straight times. But these are the teams you're supposed to know well. They have split with the Vikings in years I didn't think they'd split with them. They've beaten them at times where I didn't think it was possible. And they've played Detroit fairly well. I mean, I know how good Detroit's been this year. I understand everything that's going on. I'm just saying, with division opponents, where there's life, there's hope.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it feels hopeless at times, because of the Packers situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got the Bears owner that's currently playing for the Jets, right? And apparently he gave his buddy Jordan Love kind of some clues that would be required in the matchup. And I mean, it's confounding, because the Packers have been really good for a long time, but they haven't been that good. And you start thinking, wow, this is the longest active streak in the league. Well, okay, so the Raiders the dumpster fire that is the Raiders has beaten the Chiefs more recently.
Yes.
Yeah, that checks out. You know, you start just going through the teams that are, you know, okay, the Browns have beaten the Ravens more recently. Just go through all those scenarios in your mind, and it's
pretty damning.
Yes.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brad.
It.
Good stuff.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is Brad Biggs. He's the football man of the Chicago Tribune.